Congressman Bill Flores in the studios again with us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Scott. Didn't have to take a shower this morning, put on any socks, so I'm doing awesome.
Great thing about radio, right?
That's right. Nobody can see us.
There you go. But we did see you Sunday on TV. You were on Fox. Had an opportunity to talk with them on Sunday morning. Actually, about stuff we had talked about last Wednesday and what the future held, at least short term. Let's talk about, obviously, there are planning things that are being done by leadership as you get back to work in D.C. Kind of give us a peek behind that curtain.
Well, the most important thing we're going to get to do is to undo a bunch of President Obama's regulatory legacy. We have a law today called the Congressional Review Act, and that allows Congress to look back 60 legislative days, which would take us back into May of this year. And it says that we can introduce a resolution in the House to undo a new regulation the president rolled out. For instance, let's think of the Department of Labor overtime rule, which is killing our businesses in this community. What we can do is we can say, okay, that regulation should be reversed. Then the bill goes to the Senate, and there is limited debate, and it cannot be filibustered. So that means that only 51 senators have to vote for this. We can start queuing these things up on January the 3rd when we're sworn into office and send them over to the president's desk on January the 20th when President Trump is inaugurated. And then he can begin to sign those things, and we can reverse a big chunk of the regulatory onslaught that American families have faced the last few months. It's gonna be really cool in terms of the things that we can do to give everybody a chance to take a breath, to try to say, okay, I can reinvest in my business, I can reinvest in hiring people, I can hire, I can buy more property, plant, and equipment. It's going to be an awesome thing because the president's regulatory community has been in overtime the last several months, and so we'll just be able to roll back a big chunk of that.
All right, so now, and again, so people understand, and you're just hearing about it, there may be people just hearing about it today because the Texas federal judge has blocked the idea that if you make basically less than $47,000, they have to salary you, and the overtime situation kicks in. And for instance, I mean, taking it personally, our radio stations, it's very, very difficult on us. You take that and you multiply it by thousands and thousands and thousands. So there'd be a lot of businesses that would have to do some really cumbersome things. So what you're telling me is we can presume that the judge's action would stay in effect long enough for Congress to be able to act.
That's correct. The judge has issued a stay to keep the regulation from going into effect all across the country. And then what we can do is, as of January the 20th, or within the first few days of the Trump administration, that regulation can be totally destroyed.
Okay.
And that way you roll back to current law, which, and again, think about what that does if you are the leader of Bryan Broadcasting here, the studios we're sitting in, or if you're the president of Texas A&M University. It has killed the employers in this community. I mean, I just had a roundtable with a bunch of folks that own restaurants here in the community, and they're telling me what it's done to them. Mm-hmm. That and some of the other DOL regs that have rolled out. And so if we can undo those things, and suddenly our small business people can take a deep breath and they can exhale and they say, okay, now I know what the future's like. I can hire again, and I don't have to replace my people with automation and things like that. So
okay, so now you have more than 50 Republicans in the Senate, and you only need 51 on this. So many times the House has done what you felt you needed to do, and the Senate has held you up. So fingers crossed that the Senate will act expediently on these as well.
From what I understand in my conversations with Speaker Ryan and Majority Leader McCarthy is that the Senate is on board with these things. And so Majority Leader McConnell and John Cornyn, as the whip, have said that this is the direction they want to move forward. Now, I've got a conference call set up with John Cornyn next week, and I'm hoping that he'll confirm that for me. But anyway, that's what I think we will happen. I hope some of these senators don't get a little squishy on this, because every business I've talked to throughout this district, whether in Austin or Waco or Bryan College Station, has told me they're just getting killed by the regulatory regime.
Yeah, and again, the overtime is just the latest one. There have been any number. Congressman Bill Flores in the studio with us this morning. I don't know if it's like The Apprentice or we're talking about it's like a boardwalk for potential models, but man, we're hearing a lot of names of people going in and out of Trump Tower. What's your sense of what you've heard and what may be down the road?
Well, it's been kind of fascinating to watch the the media, you know, dwell on each of these folks as they go in and then begin to speculate about who's going to do what. And, you know, I've heard some interesting ones. Let me say this. I think some of President-elect Trump's nominations, I think, are really good. I mean, Mike Pompeo for CIA director. Mike and I got elected and came into Congress at the same time. He is a rock-solid conservative. He was number one in his class at West Point. He went to Harvard Law School. Great guy. He and I worked together well on the Energy and Commerce Committee. So he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be good. I think Rice Priebus, as chief of staff, is going to be good. There are a couple of them I think are less. I'm less impressed with. I mean, Bannon. He led Breitbart in a different direction. Andrew Breitbart used to go attack the left. Bannon likes to attack the right, mm-hmm. I didn't like that too much. I think Nikki Haley as UN ambassador will be pretty good. She sure is a whole lot better than Susan Rice, her current ambassador. But then you had Tulsi Gabbard, the representative from Hawaii, go in. And some chatter about her being Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. She's got no credentials to do that. I think the good thing that I've seen from President-elect Trump, he's inviting a bunch of people in so he gets a lot of ideas, and I think that helps him form the definition of what his cabinet is going to look like in the future.
Secretary of State, what's your thought?
My personal preference would be Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, I think, he's a quick study, and I think that he knows that we've got to put America first. Look, his style is a lot different than Donald Trump's, but the Secretary of State, I think, has to have a different style than Donald Trump does. And I think if you go back to the 2012 election, Mitt Romney hit the nail on the head when he and Obama were asking the debate who the biggest threat is. Romney said Russia. He hit it exactly right. And so I think he would be the perfect person to use to move forward. I think Trump is smart enough to look past the comments that Romney made. It's unfortunate. Romney, I think, was ill-advised to make
those statements. It's the arena, I guess. It's the arena. Now, tell me, is there a place in this administration for Newt Gingrich, in your opinion?
I don't think so. Look, Newt is super smart, and he's an idea man. The challenge with Newt is he'll have 100 ideas, and only 3 of them are pretty good. And so, if you put him in charge of a big part of the government, he'd have the staffs of that department run around chasing all 100 ideas. When really, if you're going to put Newt in a position, you got to have a filter right below him that says, okay, 97 of these ideas are no good, so we're going to focus on the 3. And you'd have some really good outcomes if you could do that, but I think it would be hard to do. So, if I were President-elect Trump, I would stay close to Newt Gingrich and keep him as some sort of an advisor, but I wouldn't put him in charge of an agency because the agency effectiveness would be diluted by chasing a bunch of bunny trails.
Finally, a group of students have circulated a petition at A&M to make this campus a sanctuary campus, protecting those who are, I'm going to say illegals rather than undocumented, because that's kind of how I feel about it. But tell me what the impact would be and what your thoughts are on this.
To the extent that these students are dreamers, our constituents here in this community are fine with some sort of immigration reform that gives them a path to citizenship because they didn't break the law themselves, their parents did. What we need to do is let the legislative process work out to come up with the immigration reform that we need to deal with that. Now, of course, we're going to have to protect the border first is job one. My recommendation at A&M has not become a sanctuary campus because folks like me would have a hard time ever helping them get any federal funding in the future. As a matter of fact, I'd work to cut it off. And I know that sounds like an extreme statement, but look, there is a law that's been broken, and if Texas A&M becomes complicit in breaking that law, then they should not receive any federal funds. There's no difference between that and giving federal funds to a sanctuary city that is harboring lawbreakers. So, but again, I want to say this in the right way. I'm not trying to be trying to be insensitive to the plight of the dreamers. To me, they didn't break the law, so we've got to come up with some sort of way to say, okay, you go serve in the military or do public service, and you can get on a path to citizenship. And our constituents are fine with that. But don't start trying to say that you deserve some sort of special protection here because you don't. I mean, you just don't.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you and your family. Glad that you're back in town.
Well, I'd like to tell our listeners, or ask all our listeners, to have a happy Thanksgiving, to remember to pray for our military men and women who aren't going to be enjoying it with their families, and for our first responders that may not be at home, and also for our country during these difficult but yet exciting times.
All right. Thank you, sir.